swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Stephen, you're late.
I thought of not coming at all, Claire.
Well, what a thing to say. You got my message?
Yes, indeed. Both of them.
Well, then of course you'd come. Now, take off your coat. I can't offer you a drink because you're so late, and I'm expecting another guest.
Claire, I think you and I should understand something.
Stephen, I haven't time to be philosophical. I have some very important questions to ask you. Things I must know. Now, please, take off your coat and sit down. You make me nervous standing there in the middle of the room.
There's something I have to say first.
All right, what is it?
This is the last time you'll send me the message I got today.
What was the matter with it?
I'll read it to you, just as my answering service wrote it down. Please be at my hotel at 3, without fail. No name, just an order.
Well, darling, you knew who it was.
Exactly.
Stephen, you're making a fuss over nothing.
Am I? Today I'm an impoverished, disbarred lawyer, and you think I will jump at your whim.
All right, I'll be more polite.
There won't be a next time.
What does that mean?
It's only a matter of months now, till I have all the money I will need. And I'll be on top. Where I belong.
Well, I hope so.
I know so. People have a way of forgiving a man with money. Look around.
Meanwhile, you need me. Because I have the contacts you want. And I need you, Stephen.
For what? Advice on not giving Tony a divorce?
I think he's going to forget all about that very soon. Now, I want you to tell me everything you know about Kate Wakefield.
I told you, Claire. Leave Kate to me.
She is in love with my husband, and Tony is taking her seriously. So seriously, I've asked her to come here.
What on earth for?
I think I should know her better. You even advised me to make friends with her.
Oh, Claire, this is stupid. I didn't mean for you to do it so obviously.
You told me her husband had been involved with drugs. Now, do you think I'm going to let anything like that touch Tony or his career? I want to know about her, Stephen. And if you expect anything from me in the future, you better tell me.
Oh, you are a tough woman, Claire.
Stephen, you know that her husband was involved in drug traffic.
Tom was a heroin addict.
While she was married
to him? Oh, yes, she took care of him. Never left him. Even when he was running drugs down in the Caribbean.
Then she was part of it.
Well, how could she have missed? Besides, he told me so.
You could prove it?
I have it on tape. He talked about it before he died.
How did he die?
He disappeared off a sailboat in Maine.
And what has Kate done since?
She stayed up there in Bellhaven, took care of Tom's father until he died.
Oh, how dreary. I wonder how Tony ever met her. Why he was even attracted to her.
You might ask him.
Oh, on the contrary, any word I mention about Kate sends him flying to her defense.
Does he know you're seeing Kate?
He is in Paris. I thought of that. Stephen, would you let me hear that tape recording you have about Kate?
That I will not do.
I have got to make Kate realize how much damage she can do to Tony.
I doubt that she'll agree with you.
Why can't I hear the recording?
Because it is a matter of private conversation with my client. I was a lawyer for Kate's husband. And everything between Tom Wakefield and myself must remain private.
My, what professional ethics. I didn't know you still practiced them.
Someday, Claire, you will apologize for that.
Stephen, you are sensitive. Where's your sense of humor?
Where's your judgment? Kate Wakefield isn't as easy as you think. You may be making the mistake of your life.
To let her have Tony without a fight? Oh, no. I like my life as it is, and I'm not letting any little nobody come along and change it.
Trudy.
Oh,
I'm glad I got you here at the office.
Well, I was just leaving.
My boss is away. I left early. Hey, I thought I'd drop by and go up to the studio club with you.
Oh, Trudy, I'm sorry. I'm not going straight home right now.
Well, that's okay. I'll go on uptown. You got a date?
I sure have. I'm going to have cocktails or tea or whatever with Claire Cushing.
Hey, I thought you decided not to see her.
Come on, let's go sit down for a minute. I've got a lot to tell you, Trudy.
You got time?
Well, I said I'd be there around 5:30.
Oh, boy, you sure surprised me, Kate.
Listen, I surprised myself. Claire asked me for lunch, and that seemed a little much, so I agreed to tea.
Uh-huh.
I'm certainly glad I waited. Trudy, I found out something that's changed everything.
Good or bad?
Good. And I guess I've got you to thank for it, you and Jeff.
I don't get you.
Trudy, do you remember when I borrowed Jeff's tape recorder while he was away?
You bet I remember. We listened to that taping of your husband's voice.
Yes, well, I inadvertently left that tape in the machine. And when Jeff got it back, he heard it.
Oh, Kate.
Yeah, I was terribly upset at first. Well, I didn't want him to know all about that drug mess and, well, what Tom said about it.
Well, I should think not.
But sometimes things just work out better than you can even imagine. You see, Jeff knows a lot about tape.
Oh, sure thing. He's a musician. All those kids know about tape.
And he discovered that that tape had been tampered with.
No kidding.
He played it so even I could hear it, where it had been cut and put together again.
Oh.
Trudy, if he's right, Stephen Wolfe has no evidence at all that I knew anything about Tom's drug ring.
Oh, bless old Jeff. Though I still don't understand it all.
Well, look, you remember where Tom says on the tape, Kate knows about it?
Yeah.
There's a break there. Tom could have said, Kate knows nothing about it. Don't you see?
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the last sentence. Tom says, Kate can help you. There's a break there, too. Tom might have said, Kate cannot help you.
Oh, Kate. Yeah, but who would have patched it like that?
Well, I can guess. Can't you? Stephen Wolfe.
Oh, of course.
Oh, Trudy, you can't believe what a weight it's lifted.
I sure can.
Well, I asked Jeff if it came to the worst, would he testify to it for me?
Well, I'll bet he would.
I just hope it never gets that far. But it sure made it a lot easier for me to see Claire Cushing.
Kate, I don't follow that.
Well, Trudy, Stephen Wolfe is a very good friend of Mrs. Cushing.
Yeah?
He's probably told her about Tom. And maybe about me. I didn't want to see her. I met her once, and she can be devastating. I couldn't face it. Even for Tony. But I feel a little bit differently now.
She can still hurt you, Kate.
But not in the same way. She told me she wanted to know me better because I'm so interesting.
Huh?
Well, I want to know her better now, too.
Because she's interesting?
She is, in a way. All I want to know about Claire is whether she's still in love with Tony. And if she is, why she hasn't lived with him all these years.
Kate, I think maybe that lady has met her match.
Maybe, but Trudy, you know, I have to tell you, I'm a little scared.
I have a 5:30 appointment, Hugh, but it won't take long. So, yes, of course I'll join you for dinner. Pick me up at 7:30. All right. Oh, there's somebody at the door now. Bye-bye. I'll tell you all about it. Goodbye.
Your tea tray, Miss Cushing.
Oh, yes. Put it right there on the low table, would you please?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it looks lovely. You remembered the roses? Oh, there you are.
Thank you, madam. Thank you.
Well, will she be on time? Or just late enough? Or maybe not come at all. That wouldn't surprise me. Tony, I'm sorry you've wished this situation on me, but you've been very foolish. And as usual, I have to help you out of it.
Coming.
Kate, my dear.
Hello, Mrs. Cushing.
How good of you to come.
I wouldn't miss it, Mrs. Cushing.
Please call me Claire. We have a great deal to talk about. You and I?
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Gentlemen, I am, as who does not by this time know, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. I do trust there is no listener to this novel who has not discernment enough to perceive that a crisis is approaching for our heroine, our sometimes heroine, Becky Sharp. Though our little orphan sank into despair, she is not one to weep for long in useless sorrow. Thus, she has turned her attention to solving what only lately seemed unsolvable. She still is with Mr. Stead in his library, receiving his advice in the matter, whilst Amelia is in the music room with, yes, George. A curious change has overtaken that selfish young dandy. Told by his father he cannot marry Emmy if her dowry is not forthcoming, knowing he may lose her, he now loves her more than ever he has. You, dear listeners, and Emmy, hardly will recognize this George Osborne.
Oh, Emmy, little Emmy, how sweet are your hands in mine.
They are?
Stars, your hands. I shall hold them in mine forever.
You will?
And kiss every finger every day, beginning this instant.
George, you've never...
Oh, the more fool I. Dobbert is right, Emmy. I've never appreciated you. Now, too late, I do.
Too late? Too late for what?
I mean, I am late appreciating you. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
I can find in my heart whatever you want me to find.
Gad, I cannot bear it if I lose you.
Oh, my darlingest, how can you lose me?
One never knows what cruel circumstances will bring tragedy to pass.
I don't like you to talk that way. I like better talk of stars and kisses and forever.
How dear you are. How good.
Yes, talk like that, though I'm not very good. What I am very is happy.
Oh, what a beastly clod and cad I've been to an angel.
No.
Upon my honor, I'll never treat you shabbily again. That is, unless...
Unless?
Oh.
What is it, dearest? Something terrible troubles you, I know it.
No, nothing. Yes, something. I was damnably wrong not to marry you before. Wrong to wait for the blasted war to end.
My love, are you saying... Are you saying we'll be married now?
No.
But you have just said, should we not put right what you said was wrong?
Can't be, Emmy. Don't ask why. Can't. Out of the question. Impossible. Circumstances do not permit.
You've changed again.
Must go now.
Why?
Must.
Well, did I say something amiss?
I did. Goodbye, dear, good, sweet, patient, uncomplaining Emmy.
Here comes Becky. Don't you want to see Becky?
Last person I want to see. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear George. Oh, Becky. I'm dreadfully sorry if I drove George away.
You didn't. I did, and I don't know how.
Oh, now what has he done to you?
Never before was he so loving, and then not loving, and then gone. Well, I'm not going to fret. He kissed all 10 of my fingers, one by one, and that is what I shall remember.
Did Papa help you, Beck?
Yes, oh, yes, I know now what to do. Before Rawdon comes back from wherever he went, Mrs. Rawdon Crawley is to tell Miss Crawley, I do not love Gordy, but do love someone else.
Who?
Oh, Emmy, you know it's Rawdon. But I'm not to tell her that yet. I'm only preparing the way for what has to come. Together, Rawdon and I will tell her we're married.
How does Papa think she will bear the news?
Would he advise me to tell her if he didn't think all would be well? I think it too.
You didn't before.
I was a craven coward before.
How people do change. George and now you. But yours is a happy change and George is... No. No, I'll only remember every finger one by one.
What else did Papa advise?
To put Miss C in soft good temper, I'm to butter her up more than ever I have. She must be sure I love her, and that... What do you know, Emmy? I truly do. Though I never quite thought of it before. Not just her money, no. I love that saucy, cheeky, snobbish, audacious, puffed-up old terror. And now, goodbye. I must to Miss Crawley. There's work to be done. As for you, dear Emmy, do you please think only of 10 fingers all sweetly kissed.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
There is work to be done, said Becky, and indeed there is. Now, into Miss Crawley's sitting room walks Becky to begin it.
Ah, Becky, I've missed you. This house is a mausoleum with you not in it. A quietness. I hate quiet. An oldness. I loathe age. Welcome back.
I hope always you will feel that way about me.
Well, why would I not? I know you well now, and you suit me well.
It may be one day I will displease you without intending it. Forgive me if ever I do.
I may or not. Did you enjoy yourself at Amelia?
Yes. Miss Crawley, I said something about you to Emmy a little while ago. Something I didn't quite know was true, but know it now. I said I love you.
Why, Becky, how you do gladden my old heart. Most people can't abide me. Oh, I think Rawdon loves me, but... I had a letter from Rawdon in the late post. Off he rode this morning on some terribly secret military who knows what to who knows where. But he believes he'll be back by Monday. Not that you care, but his auntie does.
I do care. I've got used to his being about.
Well, you do get on better than before, don't you?
Much, much better.
Wait until he hears his imbecile papa propose to Miss Rebecca Sharp. Think, my dear, if you'd married Pitt, you'd have been Rawdon's stepmother.
I have thought.
Why suddenly are you so solemn?
Because there is something solemn I must tell you. Part of the secret I spoke of this morning. I've thought and thought all day, and I realize I must share it with you.
Dear me, it does sound exciting. Tell me at once.
Miss Crawley, I do not love Gordy Kynan.
What?
What?
And have not loved him for some time.
Naughty girl! Why did you let me think you did?
I feared you'd think me terribly fickle.
Oh, fiddledy-dee, what difference does that make? Everyone is fickle when one is young. I'm just as glad you don't love him. Truth to tell, I really was not much taken with him. Not your sort, I thought. Becky Sharp deserves better.
And has found better. I love someone else.
Do you? So soon? Oh, I do delight in romance. It makes me young. Now, who has your heart? Did you meet him at Amelia's? Bring him round at once so I may see if you've truly chosen better.
It may be I can bring him on Monday.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Rawdon can meet him. Tell me something of it.
Oh, I will tell you this. What I felt for Gordy Kiner was nothing. Foolish girl is nothing. The man I tell you of now, I truly, entirely, totally love. And there is nothing I would not do to have him for my own.
Bless my soul. I do believe you mean every word. Your voice, your very eyes blaze with it.
You did say you want me to have my heart's desire. Oh, I pray you say the same when you meet him face to face.
Why on earth would I not, my dear? If you adore him, then who am I to... Oh, yes, of course. He'll take you from me.
No! After you meet him, if you still love me, I will not leave you, never.
I shall love you and him, I'm sure.
Yes, you will love him, as you love Rawdon.
Well, come, I could love no one as I love Rawdon.
You will see, Miss Crawley. You will see.
Oh, Miss Crawley will see. Oh, bother. We shall have to wait till Monday to see ourselves what Miss Crawley will see. But I am today, tomorrow, and every day your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Author Studio has been brought to you by the Oseeder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol Myers.
Hello, Miss Perkins. I just called to make sure you told everyone at the office that I wouldn't be in today either. I see. Did anyone ask for me? I see. Uh-huh. There's nothing wrong with my head, you know. It's just my ankle. So if anyone needs to call me about anything, I can hobble to the phone. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Miss Perkins. I hope so, too. Bye.
You know, you called the office earlier. Why are you calling again? I mean, you told Miss Perkins to say you wouldn't be in there.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew in the other departments in case they needed me.
Well, by this time, I guess they must all know you've got a bum ankle.
I talked to Bill Henderson yesterday, and he said not to worry. They were getting along just fine.
Oh, good. Well, then don't worry.
That's what worries me.
Want to be missed?
Yes.
Oh, honey.
Now, look, I don't like the idea they can all get along without me at the office. Maybe Mr. Bradford or Cranshaw will discover they don't need me at all.
Oh, stop it and hop back to your chair and get that foot up on the footstool. Debbie, don't run downstairs, dear. You're going to trip one of these days, really.
Daddy, aren't you going to go to work today either?
No, he's not, dear. No.
Oh, no.
Now, Debbie, don't worry about me. A sprained ankle takes time.
I want you to ride to school.
Well, why don't you get up early enough to catch the bus?
Well, I was up to 2 o'clock studying for my history test.
No, all right, I'll drive you in.
Oh, no. I'll call Carla and see if they've left yet. Her dad gives her a ride. Maybe they can pick me up.
Now, are you comfortable, dear? I'll go and help Aunt Meg with the breakfast dishes.
She didn't even ask how my ankle is.
What?
Debbie didn't even ask about my ankle.
Honey, she was up late studying for a test. She needs a ride to school. Now she's late.
I don't think kids of today really care about their parents.
Oh, God.
No, I don't. Debbie was only annoyed that I couldn't drive her to school. She doesn't care one whit about my ankle.
Well, it is, after all, only a sprained ankle. You're not lying on a bed of pain and agony with a broken leg or anything.
Well, she could have asked.
Yeah.
Boy, when I was growing up, if Mother was sick or Dad, I worried. I cared. I ran errands for them. I did what I could to help. Debbie hasn't even asked once if there was anything she could do for me.
Well, dear Aunt Maggie and I have been doing things for you. Don't need 3 nurses.
That is not the point. It just gives you a funny feeling to think that your own child, your own flesh and blood, doesn't care.
Stop taking it out on Debbie.
Taking what out?
You're not really upset about Debbie or worried about how everybody can get along so well at the office without you. Right?
Well, yeah, I guess
so. You see, it's true. When people get mad over nothing, it's really something else that's bothering them.
That's true.
Yeah.
What are you going to do today?
Well, I thought I'd do some cleaning.
You going to run the vacuum?
Yeah, will it bother you?
No, I guess not. Do you have to clean today?
Well, dear, I mean, we just decided...
I finished the breakfast dishes.
Oh, it's just coming out to help, Emma.
Oh, nonsense. There were just a few dishes. No trouble. Why don't I start on the upstairs?
Well, I just mentioned that to Bobby. It's have to run the vacuum today.
I didn't say I hated
it. What's the matter? Does your ankle hurt a lot today?
Well, it hurts.
Well, if it's going to bother you to run the vacuum, we certainly don't have to do it. I think you've probably got a lot more pain in that foot than you're letting on.
Oh, Aunt Maggie, that's just what he wants to hear. Now, you keep in company for a bit while I go and see if Debbie got a ride to school.
Well, I know how bad a sprained ankle can be.
Deb, did you get a ride to school with Carla?
Yes, and I've got to run.
Well, you haven't had any breakfast. Now, eat something.
Oh, Mother, I don't have time.
You eat something now.
I drank my orange juice and I had a glass of milk.
I made oatmeal for you. Need something hot and nourishing.
Mother, to begin with, I hate oatmeal. And anyway, I'm not hungry in the morning. And Carla and her dad were just leaving and they'll be here any second. And I said I'd be out by the driveway.
Well, you go and kiss your daddy goodbye then.
What?
Go in and kiss your father. Tell him you hope his ankle is better.
Oh, that's Carla. I've got to go. Carla's dad's just furious when he's kept
waiting. Debbie, you get in there and kiss your father and tell him you hope his ankle is better. Get in there, young lady.
Oh, right, parents. Daddy, I'll see you tonight and I hope your ankle
really?
Is better.
Oh, really? I tell you. Oh,
where
hi, Maggie.
Bob today? He seems depressed.
Well, he's just fretful, Aunt Maggie. Worried the office is doing all right without him.
He wants to play cards.
He wants to do what?
That's what he says. If we weren't going to clean the house, why didn't we play cards or maybe Monopoly with him?
Oh, I'll certainly be glad when that ankle of his is better.
Hey, goodbye, everybody. See you tonight.
Yes, goodbye.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh.
Aunt Maggie, what are you all doing?
Sorry. Let's go in. With all the housework to do, I just cannot see myself sitting down to play cards at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, here we are, dear.
Well, instead of playing cards, why don't we just talk?
Well, fine. Talk about what?
Anything. It seems to me everybody rushes around so these days, people don't take the time to just sit down and just talk.
Oh, that's certainly true, Aunt Maggie. Ah, Debbie flew in and kissed me goodbye and hoped my ankle was better. I suppose you told her to.
I told Debbie to eat her breakfast, but she didn't, and I don't know what I'm going to do about her, I tell you. Well, what are we going to spend the day talking about?
I think we could start with when I'm going home.
Going home?
Going home?
What? And I think we should talk about it.
Maggie, you said you were going to spend the winter with us.
No, dear. I was coming for Christmas, and I did. And since I came in October, that means I've been here 3 months.
Oh, come on. It seems like 3 weeks or
well,
3 days.
Very sweet of you, Bob, but I know I get on your nerves sometimes.
Oh, never.
Well, I know you're not very happy with the way I sing when I'm working around the house or in the kitchen.
Let's put it this way. Now I'm so used to it, I'd miss it. Come on. Now, let's not even talk about your going home. It's a lot colder in Montana than it is here.
What do you have to rush home for, Aunt Maggie?
Peg, dear, I'm hardly rushing home. I've been here 3 months.
You're not going home now, Aunt Maggie. It's just so wonderful to have you here with us.
You know the old saying, house guests are like fish. After 3 days, they begin to smell.
Now, there's nothing you have to go home for. Nothing you have to do. You live alone in that big house?
Which I think you ought to sell anyway, Aunt Maggie. The upkeep alone is terrible.
Yes, that is certainly all too true. But I grew up there. I just can't see myself living in a dinky little apartment, which I couldn't find anyhow. It's a small town. I'd probably have to rent a room somewhere and have kitchen privileges, as they say.
Why don't you sell the house and move here?
But, dear, where would I live here?
With us.
There, you see, Bob said it first. Now, he wants you to. He really does. So you can't use that as an excuse.
You're both very dear about it, but no. I have to have my own place. I wouldn't feel right otherwise.
Well, I understand that. But if we could find you something, you could be near us. You could see us every day, you know, be with us.
Well, we live in a village, honey. We won't find any apartment here.
Well, I noticed an article in the Sunday paper a week or so back, something about people who had apartments over their garages, some big estates, that sort of thing.
Yes. Hmm? Well, we look around. You know, if we could find something like that
here. What do you mean, find something? Ours certainly isn't a big estate, but the people that had the house before intended to fix up the upstairs over our garage.
Well, we've always intended to do it, too, and they had the money.
Well, perhaps if I did sell my house, then I'd have some money. I could pay for fixing up the garage upstairs. Oh, well, no. Those things never work out.
Now, wait a minute.
And Maggie, it's perfect.
No.
It is a perfect idea.
And you wait a minute, too. Now, let me think.
What is there to think about? Aunt Maggie, you want to answer the door? It's Maynard.
Maynard?
Yes, I called him. I said you were thinking of leaving, and I told him to come up here and persuade you to change your mind.
Well, I don't think you should have called him. But I'm glad you did.
Well, go let him in.
Yeah, let him in, dear.
Maybe he'll persuade her.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, hello. What's all this about going home?
Come in, Maynard. Help us persuade her to stay.
Well, now, nobody is going to persuade me. I have a mind of my own.
Well, now, Maggie, you have a lot of people here who love you and who would miss you if you were 2,000 miles away. And I'm going to cast my vote with Peg and Bob and ask you to stay.
Oh, well, my goodness. I have to think about it. Take off your coat, Maynard, and you're trashing snow all over the rug.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you look cold. I'll go fix some coffee and warm up my blueberry muffins. We'll all have a second breakfast.
That sounds good. I'll help you. Excuse me.
Sure, ma'am. Yeah, Aunt Maggie's right. Instead of house cleaning, it's nice to just sit and talk sometimes. Did you notice that Maynard said Aunt Maggie had a lot of people here who loved her?
That does not mean he wants to marry her. Now, stop matchmaking.
You can tell, darling. We shall see. We shall see. Oh, Bob, it's a perfect idea. Just perfect. Aunt Maggie having her own apartment over the garage. How did you ever think of it?
I don't think I ever did think of it. I think it was Aunt Maggie's idea. Well, as you said, we shall see. We shall see.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Datril. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Datril has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Datril's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Datril, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
All right, Ginger.
No, I don't remember you telling me we're going to the Sextons for dinner.
We'll go then, yes. Yes, I'll be home early. All right. Fine. Goodbye. Come on in, Angela.
I don't really have any reason to see you, Marsh.
I wasn't asking for one.
I need to talk to you.
I'm glad. I'd ask you to go out for lunch, but Emily's due here shortly.
What's happened, Marsh?
Nothing new. I just want to check her medication. I'd like to cut back on the dosage so she won't build up a tolerance to it.
Marsh, isn't there anything else that can be done for Emily? I mean, is it really hopeless?
We try not to think that any case is hopeless.
Then what are you doing for her?
Well, you know we can't operate. The tumor is located right at the base of the brain. So to get it out, we'd damage the whole system and she'd be paralyzed.
Oh, God. What about chemotherapy?
Well, the blood-brain barrier keeps chemicals from being effective in that area.
I thought maybe the tumor might be accessible to chemicals, since you said it was at the base of the brain.
Yes, but it's still in the brain system.
Marsh, how long does she have?
You mean to live or to function well?
Aren't they the same thing?
Angela, as a nurse, you know better than that. Emily will probably be able to function well until it becomes quite advanced.
Then what happens, Marsh?
Paralysis.
Complete paralysis?
Yes.
Oh, God. Does she know that?
No. No, we haven't told her.
Well, has she asked?
Not in so many words. She's more worried about what the tumor will do to her mind.
What will it do?
She'll be lucid to the end.
Paralyzed and knowing that she's dying of a brain tumor? Oh, God, Marsh.
I know.
You don't know what that would do to Emily.
Angela, she's going to be in here in a few minutes.
All right.
Here's my handkerchief.
Thank you. I wonder if I'll get used to the idea of what's going to happen to her.
Well, anytime you want to talk.
Yeah, thanks, I'll take you up on that. I don't want to make it any harder for Jason. He's the only other person I can go to.
Come in. Oh. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Marsh. Am I early? Oh, hello, Angela. Well, are you all right? I'm fine. I'm maybe just catching a cold. Look, I'll see you later. Shall we have lunch? Well, if we can get away from the hospital. I don't look upon this place with affection. I'll be at the nurse's station. All right.
I'm sorry our hospital doesn't charm you, Emily.
Well, maybe I'm making it the messenger with the bad news. It was the tests I took here that, well, said it all.
Are you feeling all right?
Pretty rocky.
What is it?
Oh, physically not too bad, Marsh, but sometimes I feel I'm not in control of my hands and my legs. They feel strange. Almost disembodied.
I see.
Is that normal? I mean, for a brain tumor?
Well, it could be.
Marsh, do you know how much time I have?
No, I don't know, Emily. It could be years.
Well, what do you think it will be?
As I said, I don't know.
Well, does anybody know? Would Dr. Szabo know? Or more precisely, if he knew, would he tell me?
Emily, we're not God. There are things that are not in our hands.
I'm not asking anything except to know what is knowable in my case.
What questions do you have?
Tell me, Marcia. If I don't ask the right question, will you tell me what I should know?
If I can.
I'm not asking you to be superhuman, Marsh. All I want to know is what's happening to me, what I can expect. So that when it happens, I won't be scared. Maybe I'll be able to handle it.
We all want to help you, Emily.
Well, then please tell me the truth, Marsh. Terrible as it is, it's better than not knowing.
All right, all right. All right, let's check you over first, then, if you have any questions.
Oh, you still don't get it, do you, Marsh?
What do you mean?
I don't want to have to dig it out of you. I want you to tell me.
Say, maybe you know. What's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy. And a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula to know you're the best you can be.
And that's the way it went, Angela. It was sort of a game. I had to ask the right question precisely, of course, to get the right answer.
That's the way doctors are supposed to be.
Why?
Well, if you give some people too much information, they absorb none of it. Or just the highlights, which can be misleading.
Well, I'm a very attentive audience. In fact, I intend to become a specialist in my case.
Oh, Emily,
oh, don't worry, Angela. I won't go overboard.
What are you going to do about the children?
We don't know yet. We're trying to talk Bobby into going back to Harvard, and if he goes, we can't tell him. And if we don't tell him, how can we tell Susie?
Of course. And you can't tell Jennifer.
Oh, no. I suppose when it's the right time, whenever that is, we'll do it.
It won't be easy.
Both Jason and I want to put it off as long as we can. After all, I may be around for quite a while.
Oh, God, I hope so.
And there's nothing worse than announcing your departure and then staying on indefinitely.
Emily, how can you joke about it?
Let's get one thing clear, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this to affect our family any more than I can help. I want Bobby and Susie and Jennifer to have happy memories.
Emily, please.
That's the best I can do for them. Now it's all I can do for them.
Why don't you see if you and Jason can take that trip to Hawaii?
Oh, no, I can't do that now. Every minute I have with them is precious. I want every second to count.
Thanks for dropping me off, Marsh. I appreciate
it. Anytime.
Can I make you a drink?
Sure. Just a light one.
Right.
Where is Emily? I thought she'd be home by now.
Well, she and Angela went on to get some shopping done after lunch. That's where my car is.
Oh. Emily seems determined to carry on as though nothing were the matter.
You know, Marsha, I can't imagine her doing anything but that.
Mm, I don't know. But I don't know how long she can do it.
What do you mean?
Well, I think she may be extending herself. She may be demanding too much of herself.
You know, she may still be in a slight state of shock. It's almost as though... almost as though she thinks if she goes through the motions of being well.
That's exactly. Well, of course, she should be as active as possible. It's certainly better for her than being depressed.
Mm.
That will come later.
Marsh, should I get someone to stay with her?
Well, not unless she wants it.
Well, the idea of her being alone here all day...
Yes, I know. Look, just take it one day at a time. I'm sure Emily will let you know when and if she needs something.
Right.
Oh, that's a pleasant sight.
Hello, darling.
How are you, dear? Oh, you got home before we did.
What?
Hello, Emily. Jason said you were out shopping.
Any objections, Doctor?
No, just try not to overdo it, will you?
Well, shopping is not hard work, Marsh.
And we did take it easy.
Darling, maybe you'd better plan to do things like this by telephone. It won't be as tiring.
Now listen, all of you. I am not going to take to my bed. I want to do as much as I can, as long as I can. And I'll need your help to do it. So please, don't gently and quietly tuck me away before it's necessary. The time that's left is important.
All right, Em.
Now, make me a drink, will you, dear?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start dinner.
Oh, Emily, I'll do that.
Angela, please. All right. And one last request. Won't you please all cheer up?
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.